And now, friends, as we prepare to approach God's word in Scripture, let us join in prayer. Oh God, we thank you for the gift you have given us in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, and for the words of Scripture which speak to the ultimate revelation of your will and your way for us. We ask now that as we turn to your Scripture, you would use it to nurture our imaginations, to touch our feelings, to increase our awareness, and to challenge our assumptions. Bless now, we pray, our hearing and responding to your word, that we may be both hearers and doers. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, friends, as you can see in our bulletins, this morning our lesson is from the Gospel of Mark. We're in Mark because with Advent, we turn the page to a new liturgical year, and with it, our lectionary moves from year A to year B in its cycle. So we transition from where we were focusing on Matthew's gospel now to Mark's gospel. But you'll also notice that we don't begin at the beginning of Mark's gospel, but in the middle, in chapter 13, at the 24th verse. And there we find Jesus talking to his disciples, saying, "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." Holy wisdom, holy word. Well, isn't that just nice? Today, we get to kick off a brand new liturgical year amid this brand new liturgical season, and we get out the tree and the wreath, and we light a candle called hope. We even turn our lectionary, getting to uncover a new gospel exploration. But with what does Advent greet us this morning? What does Mark greet us with? But a passage that's known as Mark's Little Apocalypse. It's part of Jesus' speech that he gave to his disciples about the end of time, when he will come again to completely fulfill God's will for all creation. So happy Advent, Towson Presbyterian Church. Let's talk about the end time, shall we? I mean, let's break out the memory books and all the pictures we've made across the years of Advents of yore when we got to talk about the apocalypse. My sarcasm notwithstanding, Advent is really just one of those seasons we don't particularly know what to do with. I mean, certainly we have some beautiful symbols that point us to really meaningful truths. And we celebrate Advent in wonderful ways, as we're doing today with the Advent Festival, the alternative gift market. These are truly great events, but generally speaking, you and me and Christians today, we're not terribly comfortable with this time called Advent. In fact, I suspect most of you just as soon prefer to skip over these 4 weeks and get to Christmas already. These 4 weeks, they're just, let me name it. Advent is just flat out weird. It's a season that asks us to look backwards and forwards at the exact same time. Look back at the time when God first entered the world in Jesus Christ, while simultaneously looking ahead to that time when Jesus will come again. So while we call this season Advent, it's a word that literally means arrival, it actually would be better referred to as Advents, because it points us to two very different Advents of God. The first one 2,000 years ago, and the second one, well, who knows when? But interestingly enough, there have been many throughout the ages who have tried to guess exactly when that second Advent is going to happen, when Jesus will come, when the end times will arrive. Some of them are rather infamous in their predictions, but some we actually still love and admire. The Apostle Paul was one of them. He had great suspicion that Jesus was going to come again even in his lifetime. He thought his return was imminent, except Jesus didn't come amid the lifetime of those earliest Christians. A few years turned into a few decades, which turned into a few generations, which have now turned into 2 millennia. And we are still waiting for that second advent of God, when Jesus will come again. So you and me and disciples who sit 2,000 years removed from those first followers, we understandably look at Advent a little bit differently than those first followers would have. We don't assume Jesus is going to come again in our lifetime. In fact, I think the vast majority of us probably don't ever really stop to reflect on it at all. Instead, we rightfully focus on the here and the now, this in-between time in which we live, the time in between the advents of God. And frankly, I think this is what makes Advent such a challenge for disciples today. It's hard to live in between. It's hard to live in between the time God came to show us how to live in the kingdom of God and the time when he will come again to fulfill the kingdom of God. I mean, it's hard to see how far we have to go to reach that ideal kingdom God painted for us, in which the nations will turn their swords into plowshares and we will study war no more. It's hard to see that ideal where people no longer distinguish between each other, as Paul said, between Greek and Jew, slave and free, male or female. But see the divinity within all of humanity. And it's hard to hope in that ideal world that still hasn't been realized when we're facing things like hunger and addiction and abuse and illness. It's hard to hold out hope for a world in which there will be no more tears and all will experience the deep peace of shalom. For so much of the time, if not most of the time, it can be all we can do to simply get through a day. We're so overrun by our stressors and our fears, things like debt and broken relationships and fresh diagnoses having their way with us. So we very understandably prefer to divide Advent in half, to picture it really as just the time to look back, while ignoring Jesus' promise that he will come again. I mean, why hold out hope for something that hasn't happened in 2,000 years? But perhaps that's part of the reason the church has insisted on this season of Advent for so long. For while Advent does indeed point us to two very different times when God had already entered the world and will again, Advent also calls us to trust God to be with us even here and now. It reminds us of Jesus' words to his disciples in Matthew when he ascends to the Father saying, "And remember, I am with you always, even to the close of the age." Even when things seem chaotic and completely disparate from the will of God, Advent tells us to look for Jesus and to trust that we'll find him somewhere in the midst of it all, somewhere even in the midst of ourselves. So keep awake, Jesus says in our lesson this morning. Keep alert. Be on the lookout for God's presence wherever you are. It's something the church has taught since its inception, really, that Jesus is with us. We only need to look for him in the faces of others, in our daily walks, in our joys, and perhaps particularly in our sorrows. We simply must remember to stop and look for him. To look. And believe it or not, the church has also had disciplines throughout the years of helping disciples look for Jesus amid our daily walks. There are multiple ways to do it, but this morning I want to offer you a simplified version of what's known as the prayer of examine. I hope you received one of these in your bulletin this morning. The prayer of examine is traditionally a prayer that is done in the evenings, and it serves as an opportunity to look back on our day and on the various events that unfolded within it, looking for God's presence within us, within it. It's actually a discipline that was started by Ignatius of Loyola, but it's been employed in a whole lot of ways ever since then. And as it describes in our handout this morning, which again is a general method, the examine is more of a prayer method than an actual prayer itself. It goes like this. Begin your prayer time by giving thanks to God. Thank God for the day you've just lived, for the gifts that were within it, and particularly for God's presence within it. And then ask God for the light to reveal itself, even in the darker places of your day. And then the examine invites you to review your day, reflecting upon the different events and the different encounters that you had, asking yourself about the emotions you experienced. What perspective did you not see earlier in your day that you're capable of seeing now? Think on times when God may have seemed present during your day, or maybe when God really felt absent. And then pray on those reflections. In what ways might be God inviting you to see your day differently from the back end of it? And then finally, look forward to the day that is to come, asking God to guide you into tomorrow. That's really it. It can take as little as 5 minutes or as long as you would like. But I encourage us all this Advent to pray the examine each night, that we might look for God in our daily walks. And if the 4 weeks of Advent seems too much or too many, then how about 2 weeks then? I would encourage us to explore the examine for 2 weeks. Take time at the end of your day to reflect on where God has been. And as you do, I sincerely believe you will begin to find it easier to find God, not only in your times of prayer, but even throughout your daily walk. Which, as far as I can tell, is exactly what Advent is all about. Paying attention to the coming of God into our world and into our lives. Living on the lookout for his presence, even in the very ordinary stuff of our days. Recognizing that though we do live in between the coming of God, we do not live alone. We never have and we never will. For even here and even now, in between the times Christ's feet plod the earth, we still have Emmanuel, God with us. So Advent reminds us, friends, let us live on the lookout. Amen.